Now we're going to turn in our Bibles to the passage that we read earlier, the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 28, 1 Samuel and chapter 28. It is a remarkable passage of Scripture. It is one of the best known passages of Scripture because of this event of Saul going to see a witch. And as far as we can tell from the passage, she really does, when she does whatever she does, this event happens whereby Samuel appears and Samuel then speaks to Saul. Now, I could, in my sermon this evening, go into this business. Is there such a thing as a witch? Is there such a thing as a person who can raise the dead and bring them back and consult them over various matters? And what about the book of Deuteronomy, where it specifically says that such people are in abhorrence to the Lord and they were not to be allowed even to live? But if we took that route of looking at this business about witches and Samuel and so on, I think we would end up speculating. And I hate speculating because we really then have stepped out of Scripture and we've begun to go into guesswork and what this writer thinks and what that writer thinks. And I don't think we're intended to do that. I think there are some solid lessons that are very clearly expressed in this passage, and that is where I want to go this evening. So if you had questions like, well, was she really a witch? And did she really have the power to consult the dead? And was it really Samuel? And so on. Well, I don't really want to go into it. Really, I have looked at the writers and nobody can give a clear answer. Nobody knows for sure. But there are lessons here in this passage when we move away from that and look at what is actually written and what we know for sure. There are lessons here which are actually very, very somber. I warn you at the beginning of my sermon this evening, this is a very heavy passage of Scripture. This is a very serious passage of Scripture. And I urge you to listen very carefully to what I have to say. I'm drawing all my lessons from this passage, and they are very serious, very grave lessons that we have to learn. If you're a Christian here this evening, there are some very important, very serious lessons for you. And if you're not a Christian here this evening, I urge you to listen very carefully. Maybe you're the type who can't listen to sermons and you find them boring. And I say this to you, please listen if you're not a Christian. I have something to say to you of the utmost importance. Because I'm speaking about the Word of God. And I'm speaking about the importance of the Word of God. I want to tell you that the Word of God is the most important thing that we have here on earth. Anybody who has this book has a gift from God, and it is of the greatest importance. And this passage, I believe, talks to us about the Word of God. So this is what I want to speak about this evening, the importance of the Word of God. And I have three lessons for you from this passage on this topic. And the first is this. If we reject the Word of God, God will remove it from us. If we reject the Word of God, God will remove it from us. In this passage, we read about Saul going to this woman called the Witch of Endor. Why? Why does Saul go to the Witch of Endor? Saul knows it is wrong to go to a witch. Whatever we may say about Saul and how bad Saul was, there is something good that Saul had done in this land. It says there in the second part of verse 3, it says Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. A medium is a person who is a spiritist, who claims to have access to the spirit world, and a necromancer, that word means a person who claims to have access to those who have died. And there were such people, quite evidently, in the land, and it says Saul had put them out of the land. We don't know why he had done this. And you know, it may be because in the law of Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says very clearly that these people who are spiritists and mediums and those who consult the dead, this is the language of the book of Deuteronomy. When Moses spoke to the Israelites, the law of God, he said to them, if there is any amongst you who is a spiritist, if there is any amongst you who consults the dead, such people are an abhorrence to the Lord. You shall not allow them to live in the land. And maybe Saul had taken that seriously. You come across these people in the Bible who really are evil, but there is always some good in them, and there is always something in them that you see is worthwhile. And maybe that was the reason. But Saul knew that it was wrong to have such people. And Saul had put them out. And yet Saul goes to consult such a person. Saul says to his servants, Is there a woman here, a medium? Verse 7, Saul says to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Why does he do this? Now the answer is very simple. It is the first point I'm making here. If we reject the word of the Lord removes his word from us. You see, earlier in his life, God had spoken to Saul. There were this group of people called the Amalekites. And they had offended God in the past. And the time had come for the Amalekites to be judged. So God had spoken to Saul, and God said to Saul, I want you to take the army of the Israelites, and I want you to go and declare war on the Amalekites, and I will be with you. And the instructions given to Saul were very clear. There was no ambiguity, meaning there was nothing in that instruction which was unclear. Saul couldn't say, well, you know, I wasn't quite sure of the extent of the damage that I was to do. I wasn't quite sure whom I was to kill and whom I was to spare. He could never say that. The instruction from God was absolutely clear. God said, you are to kill all the human beings and you are to kill all the animals. You have to destroy everything because they have been such an offense to me. So Saul goes, and Saul declares war on the Amalekites, and Saul does indeed kill the people, but he spared the king, Agag, and in a later passage he calls him my brother, and he spared the best of the animals, and he had been told specifically. So you see, he rejected the word of God. Now, understand very carefully what he has done. He has gone part way to obeying it. He didn't say to the Lord, I'm not going to the Amalekites. He's gone a long way towards obeying it. Yes, he has declared war. God has said, declare war on the Amalekites. He's declared war. God has said, kill the Amalekites. He's killed the Amalekites. He's gone a long way towards obeying. But do you know, my friends, 80% obedience is disobedience. 85% obedience is disobedience. 90%, 95%, 99% obedience is disobedience. Because the Word of God is indeed just that, the Word of God. And to refuse to obey 100% the word of God is to refuse the word of God. It is to reject the word of God. It is disobedience. When Samuel came later and challenged Saul, and Samuel says to him, well, you claim to have obeyed God. Well, what is this lowing of cattle that I hear? What is this bleating of sheep that I hear? And what is this man, Agag, the king of the Amalekites, that I see here before me? You claim you have obeyed. And you may think to yourself, well, I've gone a long way towards obeying. And you may think that is enough, and it isn't. Because to disobey even one command out of 100 is to disobey the word of God. And because he disobeyed the word of God, God removed his word from Saul. God, from that point onwards, would not speak to Saul. And you see, this is why this crisis happened. You follow the narrative that the Philistines have gathered, and there they are, ready to go to war against the Israelites. And the Israelites have gathered. And obviously the Philistines are a huge army, well-equipped, well-trained army. And it says when Saul saw the power of the Philistines, when he saw the army of the Philistines, verse 5, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. And later when Samuel speaks to him, Saul says to him, this is verse 15, Saul says to Samuel, Samuel says, why have you brought me up? And Saul says, I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me. And Samuel says, verse 16, well, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn your kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor. He says, do you not remember what you did? Verse 18, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you today. You did not obey the voice of the Lord. So the Lord now will not speak to you. You may go to the prophets and God won't speak to you through the prophets. You may go and consult the Urim and the Thummim and God will not speak to you. These were means by which the people of Israel would consult the Lord and find out the will of the Lord. And he says, you may go to those and God will not speak to you. And you may go to your bed and you may pray that when you're asleep, God will give you a dream, because God did reveal his will to his people through dreams in the Old Testament. And you will sleep and you won't have any dreams, or any dreams you have won't be revelation from God. God will not speak to you. This is very important. To God, his word is precious. It is not a plaything. The word of God matters to him because it has come from him. It reveals his will. It reveals his character. It speaks about his son. It speaks the promises that he makes to people. It pronounces blessings upon his people. The word of God is precious. And if you reject the word of God, God will remove it from you. God won't speak to you. Don't think to yourself, well, that's okay, today I won't listen, because after all, we go to church every Sunday and we hear preaching in the morning, we hear preaching in the evening, and I can pick up the word of God anytime and I can read it. It doesn't matter if I respond to it today or not. It does matter. If you continue rejecting the word of God, there will come a time, yes, you will come to church, but you won't be able to hear what the preacher is saying. Do you know, it is God who enables you to listen to the preacher. It is God who enables you to understand what the preacher is saying. It is God who enables you to understand the words of Scripture. This is a supernatural activity. The Bible says to us that the natural man, meaning the unsaved person, cannot understand the Word of God. Only the Spirit of God can enable him to understand the Word of God. This is a supernatural word. It is supernaturally understood. So you can continue coming to church. You can continue listening to Scripture, to the preaching of the Word of God. But God will not give you the ability to understand what is being spoken because you have rejected his Word. God did not speak again to Saul. Even the word Samuel spoke to him, there was nothing new in it. This is something he'd already heard before. There was nothing new in it, really. So you see, this is a somber lesson for us. Whether we are Christians here this evening or not, this is a somber lesson. Brethren, this is the word of God. God himself has spoken it. It is precious to him. And it matters to him that we heed it. And it offends him when we do not listen to it. It offends him when we turn away from it and we say, I don't really want any more of this. That is an offense to God. And God will judge us by removing his word from us. If we reject the word of God, God will remove it from us. But then there's a second lesson in this passage. I'm afraid all the lessons are very somber and very serious this evening because it is such a passage. But there's this second lesson in this passage, and it is this. If we reject the word of God, God will reject us. If we reject the word of God, God will reject us. Saul speaks to Samuel. And the words that he speaks, particularly one phrase in this exchange between Saul and Samuel, is very revealing. Look at verse 15. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me." And then look at this phrase. "And God has turned away from me." God has turned away from me. So it isn't the case that God has simply stopped speaking to Saul. There is more to it. In fact, the order in which he speaks is interesting. He says, "God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams." So there is more to it than God simply being silent. Do you know, in the Christian life, sometimes God is silent, but that doesn't mean God has turned away from us. The smile of God may still be upon us. And the love of God may still be upon us, even though he may be silent. Do you know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were 400 years. So God had spoken to his people in the Old Testament through the prophets, the final prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And then the next time that anybody heard the word of God was when John the Baptist began preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now that was 400 years later. But that didn't mean that the blessing of God had been withdrawn from his people. Yes, God was silent, but there were people. And we read, for example, of people like Simeon and Elizabeth when they came to present Jesus in the temple. And they were clearly godly people who knew the blessing of God, who knew the work of God in their hearts by his Spirit, who loved the Lord and were looking forward to the Messiah. And we read about Joseph and Mary. And we read about John the Baptist's parents. They were obviously godly people. So there are times when there is silence from heaven, but that doesn't mean God has withdrawn his blessing. God still blesses. But there are these occasions when God rejects somebody, when God turns away from somebody, and God says to a person, "I have spoken to you. I have revealed my word to you. I have given you my word in a language that you understand. And I have made it, so I've organized things in such a way that you have heard the word read every day to you. And I've arranged it so that you can go to church on Sunday. And you can hear preaching from my word. Do you know these are privileges millions in this world don't have? There are billions of people, in fact, who can't hear the word of God read to them. It's not in their language, or it's not legal for them to have it. Or even if it is in their language and it's legal, they just don't have access to it. They live in such a part that the gospel hasn't got there yet. There are no Christians in their village or something like that. And I know of people, I've met people, and I've read the scriptures to them, and I've said to them, have you ever seen a Bible? Never seen a Bible. Do you know God has spoken? No, we don't. Tell us what God has said. And there are people who can't go to church every Sunday and hear preaching from God's word. There are no churches where they live. But there are people in our country, maybe you're one of them, and you have the scriptures read to you every day, and you come to church on Sunday, and you have the scriptures preached to you. Now, can you imagine what an offense it is to God, how upsetting it is for God, that He should give you these great privileges, that He has organized your lot in life in such a way that you hear the scriptures. You're one of the few who are blessed, and then you turn around and say, I don't think I want this, you know. What a tremendous offense that is to God. And if you keep doing this, I give you this warning, if you keep doing this, there will come a day when God will reject you. And if you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, this will definitely happen on the day of judgment. The day of judgment is when all who have rejected the word of God, God Himself will say to them, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Go into the outer darkness where there is gnashing of teeth. Because you would not listen to my word. If we reject the word of God, God will turn His back on us. Now that's obviously a warning to any here who is not a Christian. But my friends, we as Christians, we need to take these lessons to heart as well. There are times when God speaks to us from His word. And God makes His will very clear to us. Perhaps God reminds us of something from the preaching of His word, or something we've heard on the internet, or something we've read. And we know the will of God. We know that this is what God would have us do. But for one reason or another, we think to ourselves, this is not quite the time. Yeah, I hear what God is saying. This is not quite the time. We find some other excuse. And we reject the word of God. We refuse to obey it. Well, be very, very careful. Be very careful. Because God turned away from Saul. If we reject the word of God, God will reject us. And then there's a third lesson from this passage. If we reject the word of God, God will remove it from us. If we reject the word of God, God will reject us. And then thirdly, if we reject the word of God, we come to a terrible end. If we reject the word of God, we come to a terrible end. I've been studying, of course, the book of Samuel for many months now. I usually begin studying a few months before I start my series. And then even while I'm preaching, I study it and study it. And these last chapters, particularly chapter 28 and chapter 30, I think are some of the worst chapters, some of the most terrible chapters in the entire Bible. Think carefully of what is happening here in these chapters, 28 and then 30. We'll look at 30 in a couple of weeks. But think what is happening here. We are looking at a man who at one time knew the blessing of God. We're looking at a man, Saul, whom God chose from the tribes of Israel, from the smallest tribe in Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, whom God chose to be the first king of Israel. We're looking at a man upon whom there was the blessing of God. You read the first few years of Saul as king, and you find that the blessing of God was upon him. Do you remember when he became king, not all the tribes of Israel accepted him. There were some who murmured against him. And they said, we won't accept him as king. He comes from the smallest tribe of Benjamin. We don't want this man. But the Lord's favor was upon Saul, and God arranged things in such a way that Saul won great victories, and so the people were won round, and he had all the support of his people. So God had blessed Saul by bringing unity in the nation. God blessed Saul by giving him one of the godliest men in the Old Testament as a guide, Samuel. You think of your Christian life and how certain people in your Christian life have been instrumental. They've brought the Word of God to you. They've brought the Scriptures. They have been wise, godly men, examples to you. And they have taught you the Scriptures and guided you in the Christian life. And they've been a tremendous blessing. I can think of men in my life, and they've been a fantastic blessing to me. God has used them greatly. But I say this, I don't know any person like Samuel. Saul had Samuel as his mentor. What a blessing. This godly man, Samuel, who when he was dying, stood before the people of Israel and said, if you have ever found any fault in me, speak now. And they had to say, we've never seen anything wrong in you. You have been a godly man. You've been an example to us. You've done everything that the Lord has asked of you. You've led the nation well. You have done a great job. He was a fine, godly man, and God gave him to Saul as a mentor. And God revealed his will to Saul. Not everybody, you know, had access to the Word of God. But Saul did. God spoke to Saul clearly, and God said to Saul, I will rescue you from your enemies. And God said to him, I want you to go to the Amalekites, and I want you to declare war on them. The Word of God came clearly to Saul. So Saul was a blessed man. God has chosen him to be king. God has given him Samuel as a mentor. And God is speaking to him. And then you read chapter 28. And he has come to such a low position that he finds himself going to a witch and making promises to the witch in the name of the Lord. Look at verse 10. It's a tragic verse. Look at verse 10. But Saul swore to her by the Lord. So he is now swearing to this woman in the name of the Lord, Jehovah. It's the name Jehovah is there. He's making promises to her in the name of Jehovah. As the Lord lives, as Jehovah lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. So he's entering into this kind of covenant with this witch. He's consulting a witch. And he's in such a terrible state. And of course, this is not the worst of it. I mean, generals have gone into war with a doubt in their mind as to whether they will win, because they have assessed the strength of their army and they have assessed the strength of the opposing army. And a wise general many times in history has thought, we'll go, but I'm not sure here. Saul went into this war not with a doubt, but with certainty he's going to lose, and he's going to die, and his sons are going to die. Can you imagine going into a war with that knowledge? Can you imagine that? And it's not uncertain. It's not, well, perhaps we'll die. He knows it's going to happen. Can you imagine having to go into a war in that state? And this is what happened to Saul. This was his end. There is this pattern, isn't it, in the book of 1 Samuel. Saul, at his height, as it were, blessed of God. And then Saul refuses the word of God, rejects the word of God, will not obey it. And the downward slide begins. And he begins chasing after David in the wilderness of Judea. And he kills all the priests of the Lord at Nob. And the downward slide continues. And he finally then consults a witch. And then he and his sons die in this awful battle. And Israel are hammered by the Philistines. Why? Because he rejected the word of God. If we reject the word of God, we come to a terrible end. I want to speak to you specifically this evening if you are not a Christian. And I want to say to you, there is such a thing as a day of judgment. There is a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And all the nations of the world will stand before him. And he will divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And those who are to his right, the sheep, he will welcome them into his kingdom because they received the word. They obeyed the word and they trusted in him as their savior. And he will reject those who are goats to his left because they rejected his word and would not come to him and ask him for forgiveness and salvation. And that rejection is the final rejection. He never speaks to them again. They go into eternity, into hell, into eternal separation from God. And they remain there for eternity. If we reject the word of God, we will come to a terrible end. If you're not a Christian here this evening, please listen and please act on this. Because today, God still invites you to come to him. And he says, obey my word and come and trust in Christ. Believe in him. Ask him to save you. And he will save you. And he will wash you in his blood and forgive you. But you keep rejecting him, you will come to a terrible end. May God help us to take hold of his word and to understand it. Let's come to him in prayer. Let's pray.